The following shiur has been presented by Rav Shmuel ben Yamin Honigwax, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
Zvachim Daf Ayin Tes.
The Gemara over here brings down the concept of Yesh Bila, that when you have liquids that are in one container, they all get mixed together, and we assume halachically that they are uniformly mixed. There's a big question about statistics and roiv when it comes to halacha. This comes up also early in this parak a few times, and it has a lot to do with, I once brought a riot to this concept from this idea of yesh bila. There's a question as follows. Nowadays, we know that some people eat chalav stam. Rav Moshe gave a heter to eat chalav stam. He says, b'nei Torah shvi machmer, whatever it is. Some people claim that nowadays this question has become a lot more chomer, because we know that there are the chalav stam milk can come from cows that a minority of them are known to be trefa. Since we know that a minority of the cows are trefas, we then have a problem that when we take all the milk and mix it together uniformly, it will have a percentage of the milk will be from a trefa. We know that although min atayra, min b'minoi, one item and the second item of the same type is batel b'roiv, but the halacha is that midrabanan, you need to have shishim, you need to have 59 parts, more than 59 parts to less than one part, which is awesome. So, since we know that a certain percentage of the cows are established to be treif because they go through certain procedures, assuming that those procedures make them treif, there are places that say that those procedures don't make them treif in the first place, but there are those who want to argue that we know that the cows go through certain procedures that make them treif, and therefore we know that higher than more than 1/60th of the milk is treif, and therefore all the milk should be aser midrabon. Additionally, there's a famous point from a prominent rabbi who claimed that this is not a good argument. Why? Because really, all milk has that problem. We know that according to the halacha, we have to check the lungs of a cow in order to allow the meat to be eaten. Why? Because there's a percentage of cows that are treif. Statistically, we know that a certain percentage of cows are treif. That percentage is higher than 2%, because if the percentage of cows would be lower than 2%, then we wouldn't even have to check the rea of the cow, we wouldn't have to check the lungs, if the percentage of cows that are treif is so small that it's a miyuchein in matzli. So the fact that the place can teach us that the percentage of cows that's treif is considered a mira matzli, that shows us that statistically, if we take the overall population of cows, we'll find that more than 2% of the cows are treif. And since more than 2% is more than is 1/50th. So if 2% of the cows are treif, l'chal pachas, possibly even more, according to some paiskim, 10% of the cows are treif. So according to some paiskim, mir ha-motzi is considered 10%. So if the paiskim teach us that you have to check the rea of a cow, that shows us that at least 2% of the cows, possibly even as much as 10% of the cows, have been statistically established to be treif, and therefore we can assume that in our modern times, when we don't just go after the cow and milk the cow and take a cup of milk, but rather we have milk from many cows being processed together in one plant and getting mixed together, so we have an issue, which is that more than 1/60th of all milk is established to come from a treif cow. Now there's a slight difference. The difference is that the poskim that hold that chalav stam comes from treif cows are saying that we know that certain cows are treif. We know that procedures are done on the cows that render them treif. However, the argument, the taina against all milk, is not really as strong a taina, because it relies on the concept of statistics. It relies on assuming that if statistically we know that 2% of the cows are treif, we can assume that that milk is mixed in, which is probably true, 100%. There's no question that if statistics teaches us that 2% of the cows are treif, we have the right to assume mathematically that when we have a batch of 10,000 cows mixed together, 10,000 milk from 10,000 cows mixed together in one big processing center, there's no question that you have more than 2% of that milk will be treif. However, it relies on an assumption, which is that we assume that what we know statistically to be the case will be assumed to have actually taken place, which is a valid point of view from a mathematical standpoint, but the question is whether halacha actually looks at it that way. The other alternative would be that halacha would say that no, since we know that we follow roiv, so each whenever I go and milk a cow, I can assume based on roiv that this particular cow is not treif. I have the right to assume with conviction that this cow is not treif. I can take this cup of milk and drink it, right? No question about that. Everybody agrees to that. So the fact that I then take 10,000 cups of milk from 10,000 cows and mix them together into one pot doesn't necessarily cause me to overturn my original assumption. When I first milked the cow, I assumed with certainty that this milk is 100% kosher. I then milked another cow. I can also assume that that's kosher. I continue to do that for 10,000 times. Now, if you take statistics into account, we'll say you're right that at every time you milked the cow, you assumed that the milk of the cow was 100% kosher. But once you have this overwhelming number of cow's milk, I can't say anymore with certainty that all of this milk is kosher. However, it's possible that once the halacha is already established based on roiv on each particular cup of milk, that cup of milk is kosher, we can then say that even once we have an overwhelming number of milks that we can't anymore say with a straight face that none of these milks come from a treif cow. However, halacha will allow us to assume that not a single cup of milk in this mixture comes from a treif cow. Okay, so this is the question. The question is, do you look at it like that? I'm going to say over another question, another case where this question may apply, and then, Amir Tashem, tomorrow's block, we will discuss a possible raya, maybe a number of possible rayas for this question. Another case where this question applies is when it comes to flying on a plane. A person wants to know if he can put a mace, a dead person, onto a plane. Now, if you look at each individual person going onto the plane, we can assume that that person is not a kohen. I take a look at this guy, he looks like a nice Jew, nice beard, nice hair, very nice, payas, everything's great. But he's not wearing big day kahuna, unfortunately, b'zmanein, we don't have big day kahuna, so you don't know. Anyways, even in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, you don't wear big day kahuna when you're going on the plane. Whatever it is, but this yid, it looks very nice from a Jewish point of view, but you don't know if this guy is actually a kohen, and most Jews are not kohenim, despite the overwhelming majority of Sfardim who became kohenim somehow. Nevertheless, the roiv of Jews is not kohenim. However, you take a plane with 500 people on it, or 300 people, whatever it is, now it's a little bit harder to say that there's not a single kohen on the plane. So again, we have the question, do we say that since I paskin on each individual kohen based on roiv, that this guy's not a kohen, that we can then say that I can assume that there's not a single kohen on the plane? Or no, we say, since it's overwhelmingly likely that there is at least one kohen on the plane, therefore we will say that I cannot bring a mace onto the plane and defile the kedusha of that kohen. So I want to say over I'll start today, Mirz Shem, with one raya for this question. And Mirz Shem, tomorrow I will continue and discuss that raya. The Gemara says in Psachim that there was a minig, a custom of the Kohanim on Erev Pesach. On Erev Pesach, we know all the Jews congregated to Yerushalayim to bring the Korban Pesach and to sing the Hallel and to be very happy. Now, the Kohanim were concerned that perhaps in their great happiness and zrizus to do the mitzvah of Zrika, of the Korban Pesach, perhaps one of the koisois, one of the mizrakois of dam spilled out, and one of these Korban Pesachs did not have a Zrika Sadam, which would be a terrible thing. That would mean that somebody is eating a Korban without any Zrika Sadam. So at the conclusion of the service that was performed to bring all these karbanos, the Kohanim made sure originally that there were the holes, the drainage pipes leading out of the Azara were completely closed, and therefore a lot of dam, a lot of blood accumulated in the Azara, the dam of all the karbanos. the Kohen would take one cup of dam from this Taruvus, and we say Yesh Bila, if there was a drop of blood in this mixture that had spilled from a carbon that did not have a zrika, that there's a small, there's one drop of blood in this cup from that carbon, certainly, because all the dam, like we're saying, Yesh Bila, is uniformly mixed together. So if there's one cup of dam that didn't get have a zrika, a drop of that cup ended up in this one cup that I just picked up, and I'm zayrik that dam on the mizbeach, and what happens? What happens is that one drop of that carbon ended up on the mizbeach, and that's enough for zrika sadam. As long as some of the dam came to the mizbeach, even though most of the dam of that carbon was ended up not being nizrak, but as long as one drop of dam came to the mizbeach, gevaldik, so I'm in a good place. Now, the Gemara points out that this is going according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds ein dam mevatel dam. One dam cannot be mevatel another dam with roif. And therefore, even though most of the dam is maybe dam atamtzis, the Gemara says, it's not dam that's kosher for zrika in the first place, nevertheless, ein dam mevatel dam, if that one drop of good blood that has to have a zrika is in the kais, I am yoitz in my zrika when that dam reaches the mizbeach. That's what the Gemara says. Now, I had a question. If you assume that you don't follow Roiv, but rather you follow statistics, so we know, like we said before, that although Roiv tells us that the animal is not a trefa, nevertheless, chances are that if you have 10,000 animals together, there's certainly one animal there's certainly many more than one animal, 20 animals that are trefa. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, he brought a Karban Pesach. He had, like the Gemara tells us, 1.2 million Karbanis in 1 year, the Gemara says. So there certainly is, statistically, many, many, many Karbanis that are Trefas. If you tell me Ein Dam of Atal Dam, that means that the Dam of the Trefa is now still extant in this Kais that I'm about to do Zrik on. And I know for sure, statistically, that I'm taking Dam, which is Trefa, and I'm being Zayrik on the Mizbeach. You're not allowed to take Dam from a carbon that's a Trefa and be Zayrik on the Mizbeach. You can't do Avoida on a carbon that's a Trefa. So L'chaira, we should have a major problem. If you rely on statistics and not on Raiv, then you have a problem that when the Kainim takes that cup of Dam, that Mizrak of Dam, and is Zayrik on the Mizbeach, he knows for sure that he's being Zayrik, Dam of a Trefa. How is he allowed to do that? So this may be a proof to show us that since at the time that I shechted each and every carbon, I was able to paskin on the dam with a certainty that this carbon is not a trefa, and say I know for sure that I can be zayrik the dam of this carbon on the mizbeach. So even later on, when it gets mixed together with many other domim of many other carbonis, I will not say that there's an iser to be zayrik the dam of a trefa on the mizbeach. And Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow we will continue discussing this raya and other rayas to determine whether or not this is a valid raya or not.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.